we begin to see that every decision we make not only impacts our lives today, but also has eternal significance, it becomes clear that personal finance is more than money. Welcome to More Than Money with your host, Mark Manila. Please join us as we explore personal finance from a biblical perspective.
Welcome, everyone. We're glad you're here this morning. And though this might be a little bit of a heavy show, I hate to bring it to you on this morning, but man, there's just so much that can come across your desk. In fact, Beverly, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Mark.
I know before the show, you let out a sign. You said so much ugliness in the world, so many things coming across our desk. How do we deal with all the needs, all the problems of the world? But we can't deal with them. That's God to deal with it. But, you know, my mind started rattling through things I've seen through the investment world over the years, you know, along with the debt and the pain of people losing their houses or all the financial things. There's been things like conflict minerals. A lot of people don't understand a lot of the gold and silver and precious metals that are dug out of ground are dug out with women and children that are enslaved and worked on to death, you know. And then, of course, there was a big deal on blood diamonds. There was actually a movie made of that.
I remember that.
Yeah, the same thing was going on there where people were using and abusing people just to get these diamonds out of the ground, and then they'd be selling them and making themselves rich, but killing, kidnapping, abusing, bringing women in, raping and using them, and you know, and then forcing them work in the mines. I mean, all this ugly stuff. Well, I've heard about those kind of things, but one of the things that never occurred to me is the use and abuse of children in tourist areas.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about the sex slave situation. We're going to talk about a different aspect of this, which nobody ever thought of. In fact, this is one of those things that, you know, you're trying to do good, and you find out you may have done harm.
Right. You hear rumors, but now we'll hear the facts.
Well, we're going to have a gentleman to help us, someone who really does understand this. But first, thank you very much. That's always insightful when we get some insights on Wall Street, how they're using and abusing and where they're not using and abusing people. If our listeners, every Saturday, if our listeners would just tune in just for that segment, think about the impact it can make in this world when people would either divest of things that are offensive to God and or using or abusing people and or would just invest in those things that aren't abusive. I mean, money is power. It's the oxygen of business. If people would view it that way and move their money to where it is fueling only the flames of the fires of good, this world would change overnight.
It would.
It would. Well, one of those areas, you know, even when we're trying to do good, though, sometimes it can get very confusing. And someone to help us understand this, someone who's really has an intimate understanding of this, is our guest via phone, Zulfikar Rashid. Welcome to the show, Zulfikar.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Beverly.
And I got to tell you, my heart broke when I started reading about this because there's a verse somewhere in the Bible that talks about if someone asks for help, asks for money, to give it to them. It doesn't say to qualify it or anything, you know, and I've been taught over the years, you know, well, if you give a drunk money, he'll buy beer, you're not helping him, or wine. If you give a drug addict money, he'll go and buy drugs, so it's better just to buy him a meal. Well, maybe that's all true, but you know, there are ways to be careful, but I would never have guessed that these things, the things that you're going to talk about, were happening. Share with a little bit about what's happening in some of the tourist areas and the impact thereof.
So what we're talking about is beggary and organized beggary. And what happens is you go to a tourist spot, like you mentioned, and you have, depending on what part of the world you are in, you have children and come up to you, ask for money. They are playful. They are, in spite of being very poor and debtors and, you know, maybe dirty, they are very innocent, and you know, your heart goes out to them, and you want to give them money, you want to help them. Well, the fact is that in most cases, these children are out there begging for money for either their parents, but in more cases for criminal rings who actually abduct children and send them out to beg for money. So the good that you think you are doing, as you said, by giving them money or giving them something that they can take back, is not really for them. It's for whoever is controlling them, whoever has sent them out. So they don't get to keep much, if anything, of what you give them.
Yeah. Never taken it to that level or thought about it that way. I would have thought, you know, here's some kid who could really use a meal or use, you know, some clothes or some help, you know, and then to find out that that child, maybe his arm that is, you know, looks like it was broken and healed badly or something, was done on purpose to make him even, I don't know, to make you feel even more sorry and give more money to him.
Yeah, you're right, and that's, it just progressively gets worse. So there are many situations. It's not uncommon in many parts of the world for children to be maimed, disfigured, so that they can evoke more sympathy when they are out on the street and you run into them, especially. Foreigners are a big target for this. You know, in some cases, there are documented stories of even parents deforming children for this purpose. But, you know, even as hard as that is to say, it's not as common, unfortunately, as what I mentioned earlier, criminals who look at this as an enterprise. They will abduct children, they will deform them. They will maim them so that they can get more money. There is a very specific form of this which I talk about in my book, The Red Boys of Karlabad, where in certain shrines, children are abducted and then their heads are bound with metal caps or in very tight leather straps. It's very much like the ancient Chinese feed binding practice, except that this is done to really deform and disfigure the children. So as the children grow up, you know, you have this very strange looking creature which resembles, at least from the face, like a rat, because the ears are much bigger in proportion to the head, the eyes, the nose protruding quite a bit, the lips are a little bit, you know, pulled back. And of course, because the head has been shrunken, so to speak, there's of course the brain is also deformed, so there is a lower level of intelligence. And people do this so that when you run into a red boy or a red child.
And where is this at?
Well, this happens in Pakistan. I am from Pakistan. I've seen this. There are shrines where this thing is done. The purpose is, it's just a business enterprise, really is what it is. And these children are just objects to, or is used as objects to get better business.
But we're also talking about normal places where most people wouldn't even think about this, like in the Caribbean.
That's
or
right.
India, or, you know, just normal tourist places that wouldn't be like some small town or city in some war-torn country, but places that are visited continuously. So this is a big industry.
It is a much bigger industry than one may think. Now, I want to also qualify that, of course, there are always regulations and the governments are aware and they try. But, you know, the situation is that countries that you mentioned, the Caribbean or India, for example, you have a big difference in the society. You have the very well-to-dos, and then you have a large population that is, really lives in abject poverty. And it's a vicious cycle that they are in that it's difficult to get out of. And in some cases, these things are done to children to just get some money.
Yeah, well, just now, some people listening right now are saying, yeah, but these people are starving. They don't have a roof over their head, they don't have plumbing, they don't have clothes. If I don't give them money, you know, Lord bless me, why can't I be, if I don't give them money as a conduit of the blessings of God to them, then they may starve to death. What am I to do?
Yes, and I really appreciate that sentiment. You know, I've been in those situations. You're looking at somebody and you want to do something. you know, there are some things to do could be you give them actually food. So I have done this where you take them and you just buy them food so that they can eat it. So you know that the good that you're doing is actually going to benefit the person that you're intending to benefit from it. Another thing that can be done is before one goes to a country, just a little bit of research to see what kind of organizations, non-governmental organizations, or governmental organizations are present where you know that the money again that you give would be used for good purposes. Look, I strongly believe in charity, and if you have, you should share. I strongly believe in that. But I think it needs to be balanced with that when you are going to share, it needs to be put to good. It should not perpetuate something that is wrong.
Yes. Yes, you know, a lot of people would fall back on what we were going to make our verse for the day, which was in James here, James 1:27.
I'll read that, please. Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world.
So, you know, most people would read the first half of that and to care for fatherless, you know, widows and orphans in their need, but miss that and to keep unspotted from the world. But here's one of those situations where it seems like you'd be doing the right thing by giving them money, but it may mean that God needs you to give of yourself so that you would not be adding to the ugliness of the world. And you're saying instead of giving money, take the time to take them to a restaurant or to give them food and to make sure that they're able to eat it before they're thrown back on the street or whatever.
Yeah.
Or like you said, find an organization or become part of an organization or start an organization that actually has feet on the ground, that have boots on the ground, that are establishing orphanages or schools or some way to reach these children to get them out of the poverty cycle and out of the hands of the criminals.
And you hit upon the two main points there, Mark. I think that it's orphanages or institutions that provide, you know, housing and just the minimum comforts of life, food to these children, or organizations that are actively providing education to the children. So, you know, in my view, those are the two ways that you can help these children break out of these cycles that they are caught in. They themselves would have no way to get out of.
By feeding them and housing them, then they don't have to depend on some criminal influence to keep them from being dying in the street.
That's
correct. And by educating them, you're giving them means to be able to lift themselves up and to do something productive, not only for themselves, but also maybe for others later on.
Yes, and, you know, there are good people everywhere in the world, just as there are bad people everywhere in the world. So in every country that one would want to go visit, there are, in every city practically, there would be orphanages. There would be organizations that are providing education to the dispossessed, to the children, to even adults, to help them break out of these cycles. I think what we, the ones that can do something about it at the minimum, should do a little bit of research, and if we want to give charity, give to those organizations so that they can continue their good work.
Yeah, instead of just instant gratification of giving and feeling good about giving to somebody on the street.
Yeah, you're right. It would be instant gratification, but you don't know for sure, but the higher probability would be that money, the cash that you're giving, the coins that you're giving, are going to be just handed over to somebody else who will use it for who knows what.
I had a quick question, just a clarification, Zulfikar. You said that we should research the area that we're intending to visit, and how would we do that?
Oh, so, okay, if you go to, simply you just go to Google, you look at the country that you're going to visit and look for orphanages or human rights organizations in that country. I mean, I have done that frequently, and you usually get a fairly long list. Then you can ask some of your friends about who may have visited as to the institutions that are being the most effective. For Pakistan or for India, I know that there are organizations that have been in place for a long time that are very effective, and they truly do selfless work.
So then you would recommend just totally giving your money to those orphanages or as educational institutions as a, instead of the individual, the orphan that we would see on the street no matter what?
Well, yes. I mean, you could still do something for that child because, you know, it's very, very difficult. I'm sure that we can all relate to this. It's very difficult to not, to just walk away from a child, you know, with pleading eyes and, you know, it's just very difficult. So in that case, you can still do something for... Yeah, exactly. By the way, do something for that child right there.
Okay. That's good.
Yeah, and that makes total sense to me. And that way you're protecting from actually perpetrating or
perpetuating.
Thank you. I knew I had a word in my mind somewhere. Those ugliness, that ugliness that is happening in those areas. Is this? I mean, we talked about the Caribbean, but let's name some places that this is happening like on a daily basis. That's not, you know, that is a normal destination for a lot of Americans.
Good question.
I'm sorry, I missed the question there.
What? Give me some of those destinations.
But India is certainly a very popular destination.
Okay.
Where this happens. I mean, I know that even in places like Italy, for example, which is a very popular destination, you have
Italy.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have thought.
Yeah. How? I mean, Italy. They have a mature government. They should have a great police force. I mean, boy, it just. What about in the U.S.? Is this happening in the U.S.?
Well, I mean, in the U.S., to be honest with you, it's not beggary as much, but there are some other problems that exist, which are more about the... more in the prostitution or sex area, but not so much around the beggary. Actually, over here, when you see beggars, I think that those are individuals that truly are homeless, and I think that there would be a different way to help them. I think the focus of my research and the area that I'm focused on is more around the how children are used in these rings for beg for money, and they're disfigured and maimed.
Why haven't we heard more about it?
Well, look, I mean, if you look at the news from that part of the world, I think that there will be more exposure. If you simply do a search on beggars and red children, you'll see that BBC and Pakistan and India, there's a whole lot of material that has news reports and articles that are on this topic. I think that in the U.S., this particular thing is not as big a problem, so it's not that well known in the U.S., but where there is a huge divide between in the society between the well-to-do and then the poor, and the proportion of the population that is very rich versus the proportion that is very, very poor is where you have more of these problems. In the U.S., you know, in spite of all the economic downturn and all of the issues that we have had over the last few years, I would say the standard of living, I think that you know that, is much higher than many, many places in the world. So you don't have that abject poverty usually in the U.S. that you find at a broad scale in many of the underdeveloped third world countries.
And a lot of this is in the Indo-Asian nations that you're finding this in the research you've done?
Yeah, in Southeast Asia it's very, very common where you have more poverty and more, therefore more opportunity to take advantage of others, and especially the innocent.
And you wrote a whole book about this, The Rat Boys, the Karalabad, is that what it is?
Yes, the book that I wrote is called The Rat Boys of Karalabad. It is a work of fiction, but it is based on many facts and a lot of research. So I debated on how to present this, and I felt that the most effective way would be to make a compelling story with a few compelling characters to bring this issue in a way that we can discuss it.
Well, I got to tell you, my heart is breaking right now. I don't know how else to say it. It's so sad. see the cruelty of the world, but the use and abuse of children, the most defenseless of all, you know, to just for some coin, just for some profit, it just tears me up, you know. We need our listeners to really get involved with this and realize that, you know, there's so much wealth here in America. We think we're not wealthy, but how many people have gotten on a cruise ship to the Caribbean and gotten off and put coins in some child's hand that was begging, not realizing they were actually feeding the evil that was going on in that area? It is so sad. Somehow, I really pray that this message gets out there, that people will start becoming more aware, awake, conscious of this situation, and instead of just taking the easy way out and walking away, we'll do something like you said, like doing a little research before you go, so that you can actually help some of the missions or the orphans, the schools that are there. You know, plan on visiting those places.
Plan ahead.
Yeah. Plan on visiting those places and donating to those places some of your time, some of your money, so that when you're there, it's not just a distraction from life, but you're also there contributing to God's creation and caring for the least of these. That would be incredible. I haven't read your book yet. I'm going to pick it up, The Rat Boys of Khorralabad. I'd like to read it. I've never heard of that before, the shrinking, the keeping the heads from growing just so these children can grow into beggars for the temple, I guess it is, and that money's just for the temple, right?
Yeah, I mean, the red children are, of course, not smart enough to know what to do with the money. Yeah.
Right. So, yeah. Right. Yeah, so I'm going to pick that up, but I also would like to have you back again to discuss this a little more in depth, because our listeners need to know these things. A believer, a Christian, somebody who trusted Jesus Christ for their salvation is also somebody who trusts Jesus Christ to guide their life in compassion and love, as he showed by allowing himself to be crucified for them. We too should give all that we can give. And it's not just about the money. When we travel overseas and stuff, if God blessed us, then we can do something more. And I think our listeners are those type of people who realize that life is
so much more
than money.
And I couldn't agree with you more.
God bless you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you very much.